song that Nate did in the worship team, The Cost. How much Calvary costs. There is a cost involved with our salvation. There is. And our salvation is founded on Christ Jesus, in Him alone, cornerstone. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, since we amen that, I'm going to go with that. I shared a message in January, and it was the foundation of our salvation. And the foundation is the gospel. And the cornerstone is Christ. But Christ is also revealed as a capstone. You realize that? That was in Psalms 118, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, and 1 Peter, chapter 2. The cornerstone. He's a precious stone. And we who receive him is a precious stone to build upon. We can't build on any other stone. But for those who reject him, he's the capstone. He will crush those who do not believe in him. Because we're saved by grace through faith. And there is a cost, as Nate just sang, and the worship team, of the cross. There's a cost of the cross. Bear witness with something that Darwin shared this morning about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. I turned there. I like looking at things in context. That's a good thing. Amen? Amen. It's good looking at the word in context. I'll pick up where Darwin left off. But I tell you the truth. It is good for you that I'm going away. And that's God's righteousness revealed. He brought righteousness to a lost and depraved world. He who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. We don't have any holiness. We don't have any righteousness. But through God, that cornerstone, we build our faith on. Amen. He said, it's good that I'm going away, so I can send the counselor. He will come to you. When he comes, next verse. I'm reading from John 16, verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. The helper, the counselor. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. That we are convicted about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. The capstone. It's good that we know that. It makes our gospel that we believe in, the good news of Jesus Christ, that gospel that we hold to, it's not our gospel, it's the good news about Jesus, that we hold to even that much better. Amen? The gospel is good. But we've got to see the whole big picture. Because there's judgment. We sang a song earlier about every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's because God had lifted him. He exalted him to the highest place. And therefore, God put everything under him. Who will judge us? Jesus is the judge. Judgment comes through Jesus, the one who died for us. And every knee, it says, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, will bow. As I understand it, as I've studied that, that's every living thing that has a sense to it. Everything of creation that understands, that's human beings, will be judged. And when that judgment comes, when Christ returns, with that trumpet sound, it's too late. That's when judgment comes to earth. And if we have not believed before that, Christ won't be our cornerstone. He'll be the capstone of those who reject Christ here. He will convict the world. This is the Holy Spirit. Of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not what? Believe. It's as simple as that. As I'm going to finish up here, I want you, if you have your Bibles, open them up. I'm going to pick up. And I want to thank the elder, Brad Bear. He took hold of this gospel. And he spent 2 weeks, at least, preaching on the fullness of that gospel as it's revealed in Acts chapter 10. That's where Cornelius had Peter come to him. And he said, tell us everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us. And Peter gave him the full gospel. The full gospel. And before he was even done speaking, what happened? The Holy Spirit came on all those in the house because they believed. Hallelujah. Brad, thank you. But he used a scripture verse I want us to turn to, and that is, as I'll finish up here, but as I'm doing that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just turn to 15:1. Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to convict the world of guilt in regards to sin and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin because men do not believe in me in regard to righteousness because I am going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. It is finished. Hallelujah. The victory's been won. And Jesus purchased that. All right, if you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, he said, brothers, sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, the one that Paul preached, you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word that I preached to you. Otherwise, if you're following along, what? You believed in vain. You know, isn't that a strong statement? Very strong, thank you. It is strong. This gospel that Brad preached for 2 weeks. I laid a foundation, Brad built on it. I can't lay any other foundation than the cornerstone, Christ, amen? And Brad walked right up and just continued to build on that foundation, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. But we've got to also realize that for those who reject that gospel, he is a capstone where there will be judgment. We will give an account when we stand before him after we've all bowed our knees, everyone. That's a strong warning. Peter continued on. Paul continued on there in 15. And he said, by this gospel you are saved, you hold firmly to the gospel I preach you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. I brought to you what was of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried. But he rose from the dead on the third day, according to what? The scriptures. Hallelujah. 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 And he spent the rest, the 58 verses in the rest of that chapter, my brothers and sisters, talking about what? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul said, I want to know Christ and the power of his what? Resurrection. Hallelujah. I want to know Christ. You know, on that day, on Judgment Day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, do all kinds of miracles and stuff in your name? And Jesus will say truly unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers. In other words, I don't know you. Out of my sight. Where are they going to go? They go the only other place that God's created other than his kingdom that will be restored, and that's outside, looking in. I can't imagine being in Gehenna. That's a place where they used to burn the garbage outside Jerusalem. The fires never went out. Imagine, it just continuously burned and burned garbage. And Jesus acknowledged that the place that you will, where you, if you didn't want me in this life, you're not going to get me in the next life. That's where you will spend How long? Eternity. Well, I'm using a quote from A.W. Tozer. He was a pastor and an author and a mentor. He said, Christianity today has been so watered down that if it was poison, it would harm no one. And if it were medicine, it would cure no one. And I thought about that for a while. It's a pretty profound quote, especially from back in the 1960s. I don't know what Tozer would say today. This would be the same thing, but it would be on steroids, how he discerns the times we live in. But that raises a question, why? And I'm thinking maybe because the gospel has been watered down. Possibly because the gospel has been watered down. There's no other option for our salvation other than the cornerstone. That's the gospel, Christ, that cornerstone, the good news about him. So we've got to know it. We've got to believe it. And we've got to stand on it. Just like the apostle said. We can turn, if you would, if you want to follow along the scripture, to Hebrews. Now as you turn there, chapter 2 of Hebrews. We don't know who wrote Hebrews. It was definitely of somebody of the Jewish faith that had come to, obviously, a saving knowledge of Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. He came to Christ, and it could have been Apollos. It could have been Barnabas, Paul. The scholars who dig into this, they don't know. It's not so much the messenger, it's the message. So whoever brought it. And it's been deemed, and it's in the canon, so it's solid. It was written in probably 67 or 70 A.D., and it was before the temple was destroyed. You know, God, after the gospel came, Christ paid the debt, he said, it's what? It is finished. Sacrifice was over. You know what happened at the temple right after that? A few years after that? It was destroyed. It was leveled. There wasn't one block laying on top of the other one. Jesus prophesied about that. All right. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. And that's the gospel. In that context, it's the gospel. To what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message, and that's the law, if the law spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? We have a great salvation through Christ Jesus. How will we escape? But it says, therefore, in verse 1, we must pay more careful attention, therefore. So I always ask myself, what is therefore? Therefore. And it's what's antecedent to that, is what precedes what was being said here. That's chapter 1, the whole chapter. And chapter 1 talks about Christ's sufficiency, his supremacy, his deity. That's what chapter 1 is. And knowing that, we got to pay more attention to this gospel now that's about him. And the recipients that were receiving this, just for a little insight, they were marked by immaturity and sluggishness. We can see that a little later on in chapter 5 of the same letter, the same book, where it says, I have much more to say about this, but you're slow to learn. He says, by now you ought to be teachers of the law, but you need milk, not solid food. For solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And notice as we walk through that, the author says we. 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 He's including himself. Now, drift away, parareo in the Greek, It's defined as being washed away, drift away, to give up a belief. And in the sense of that word in that context, it is to disbelieve gradually or slowly, conceived of as being carried along due to a water current. And Paul, probably not the same author as Hebrews, but Paul said in Romans, he says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to distinguish what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God is. I think the world has affected the church. Maybe use a stronger word, infected the church. I mean, I do. That's how I see it. I don't know how Tozer would say it. I think he'd be a lot more direct than I am right now. But we cannot go along with the things of the world. Because if we do, if we take one step, we're going to start drifting away from that solid rock on which we stand. Now, about this disbelief in that, and the idea that there will be some retribution, some judgment, some punishment while we're here, that is a warning. That is a warning. In 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, God said, Paul said that God is just, and he will punish those who do not know him or obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out of his presence on a day when he comes in blazing fire with all his angels to be glorified among the nations and by his people. Yeah, that's judgment. Hebrews 12:25 says, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, that's God, Sinai, the law, how much less will we? If we turn away from him who warns us from heaven, how much less will we not be? Let me ask you. I heard, does God discipline those he loves? A lot of times we're getting disciplined and we'll say, oh, that devil. Oh, that devil's doing this to me and that to me. We got to get a check of reality. We may be drifting and God doesn't want us to drift. We may be giving an inch or two. He doesn't want us to move a bit. Stand. So on this gospel, you stand. You have taken your stand. We cannot drift from God's truth. We hold firm to it. This clearly brings out the disregard that God's people had for his law, and it brought punishment. If anybody's read anything in the Old Testament, it brought punishment when they disobeyed him. They went under captivity, right? The Assyrians, Babylonians, the Philistines. When they said they weren't slaves in the Gospel of John, verse 8, when Jesus said, you know, if you hold to my teachings, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. We've never been slaves to anyone, they said. But let a Roman soldier walk through there. They cringed because they were under the authority of Rome. They were still slaves. They didn't see it. They didn't understand it. And now about grace, if we who are under a better covenant have disregard or drift away from the gospel, will we not escape punishment any less than those who are under the law? That's something to consider, my brothers and sisters. And it's we. It's we. I hope you don't think I'm just preaching at you. I've given this a lot of thought, and this is good. Because I know God disciplines those that he, thank you. That's right. Like a father, a loving father, disciplines his son or daughter. And this warning, and this is an admonishment. It's not condemnation, okay? We're not being condemned. Now, there's a cost involved. We sang a song about that, Nate, right? The cost of the cross, was it? It was the last song that we sang. Interruption? It wasn't an interruption. He was helping. I was trying to bring something that was already planted, the seed, right? We sang it. The words came out of our mouth. What Calvary has bought for me. Thank you. That's it. What Calvary has bought for me. What Calvary has bought for me. There's a cost for our salvation. And Christ paid that cost. And I hope I can get through this. I'm going to go to Isaiah. If you want to go there, I'll read the scripture verse, but I'm going to go to Isaiah 52. I'm going to start in verse 13. And I just listened to a song this morning, and it just came up by chance. It was a God incident. Here I am to worship. You know that song? I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon the cross. I'll never know. That's a stanza from the song. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon the cross. Isaiah, which we're going to go to, lived 700, get this, 700 years before Christ. Now, when I read this, you think about anybody that says, man just wrote this word. Because I hear a lot. Man wrote that. This proves it to me. Not just this, but everything that was spoken hundreds, thousands, I don't care if it was a day before it happened, proves God's word is true. And God will fulfill everything in his word, just as he said. And judgment is one of them. Isaiah dealt a lot with God's judgment and then redemption. Judgment and salvation. Under the Egyptians, judgment for hundreds of years. And then deliverance, parting the Red Sea and they're out. God proved himself. He's a deliverer. That was Isaiah, the Holy One of Israel, who must punish his rebellious people and afterwards redeem them. That was Isaiah, the prophet. These 15 verses that I'm going to read are quoted more frequently in the New Testament than any other Old Testament passage. Not all the reading, but it's back and it's quoted. More than any Old Testament scripture. These 15 verses have been referred to as the Gospel of the Old Testament, which I didn't realize that until I was studying it. The Gospel of the Old Testament. Now I'm going to try and get through this. I'm reading scripture here. All right? 700 years before Christ. Let's start in verse 13. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations. That's cleansing. He will cleanse. He will bring cleansing to many nations. And kings will shut their mouths before him or because of him. For what they were not told, they will see. And what they have not heard, they will understand. Chapter 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. Though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his land, in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, by his righteous servant, will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Church, 700 years before Christ. Who is this prophet talking about? Jesus. Who?
Jesus.
Who?
Jesus.
Jesus the Christ. Well, there's also a cost of salvation for us. Here's what's required of us. Gospel of John 6, 28 through 29. Then they asked him, this is Jesus, as he was in the midst of talking about the life, that he is the bread of life, and there were miracles being done. And they asked of him, what must we do to do the work God requires? What work does God require of us, Jesus? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. To believe in the one that he sent. That's our work. To simply what? Simply believe. We can condense this gospel we can package it real small, and you all know this scripture verse. You all know it. What's one of the most important scripture verses, or the most significant, or most well-known scripture verse? One verse in the whole Bible, probably. New Testament. Thank you. John 3:16, Darwin. Thank you. It's held up behind goalposts and at baseball games, at home plate, somebody behind there, and it's behind the screens and the seats. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Probably the most familiar scripture. But it has a profound meaning and purpose to it that may be overlooked. If you believe, you'll have eternal life. If you believe, you will not perish. That's judgment, my brothers and sisters. Do we realize what perishing is? Do we realize what we're saved from? A lot of times, we just keep looking to what we're saved to. And that's good. But we got to also realize what we were saved from, what we are saved from. Now listen, some of you in here probably are old enough to remember Paul Harvey. He was a radio guy, well-known, old-time radio announcer. And he always used to say, and the rest of the story, and the rest of the story. The rest of the story from John 3:16. Listen to this. John 3:16. Let's take one step. One step. Verse 17 and 18. This is John 3:17 and 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn, but to save the world through him. Verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Judgment is coming. Romans 10:13. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no other option, cornerstone or capstone, salvation or condemnation. Verses 14 and 15 of Romans 10. How then can we call on the one we have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You know, that's part of the armor of God. With your feet fitted with the what? Shod with the what? The readiness of the gospel, right? Take the word out. Put feet to the gospel. Paul said in the first chapter of Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That's all we're called to do, is believe. My brothers and sisters, I'm going to close. But it's my prayer that today the Holy Spirit would fill us, convict us, and empower us to put feet to the gospel. We got room. We got room to love the sinners as they come in, see them come to a saving knowledge of Christ, introduce them to Jesus so that they get to know him, so they don't have to hear on that day, Lord, Lord, and Jesus say, I never knew you. Out of my sight. Jesus suffered and died to redeem us. He loves us. He loves the world. He loves the whole world. And we can glorify him by proclaiming this gospel to everyone who will listen, whoever will listen. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. That's scripture. That's Paul talking to Timothy. Do not be ashamed to testify about the Lord. So I beseech you, on behalf of the lost, those who maybe have not heard, those who may have heard but don't understand. I believe we got to continuously share the good news of Jesus Christ, because we can't save anyone. That's a conviction of God's Holy Spirit on somebody that knows that they're guilty. I shared my testimony here years ago when Phil was, we were talking one time, and he was talking to us, because I used to meet with him weekly, about the fear of God. And he says, I've never met anybody that feared God. I said, well, you're looking at one. I mean, he said, fear. I mean, not reverent fear, you know, I'm not. But that's what he said to me. And I said, I fear God. He said, were you afraid? I said, yes, I was. I was terribly afraid. Because in July of 1983, I got convicted about my sins. A man asked me, he said, Duke, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And I said, well, I don't know, I go to hell, all my friends are there, ha, ha, ha. Hey, you know, he didn't laugh. He didn't laugh. He just looked at me. Probably it was compassion or pity or maybe stupidity. As he was looking, I'm being stupid. He said, seriously, where would you go? I said, well, I'd probably go to heaven. I said, I'm not that bad of a guy. Hey, I was judging myself, you know. Who's going to say I'm a reprobate? Oh, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. No, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But that question stuck with me. I eventually said, heaven, you know, I'm not that bad of a person. But wasn't long after that, I was in my room, and the Holy Spirit, John 16, convicted me that I was a sinner. And that someday, I would have to stand before him. And I just knew that I'd have to fall before him, kneel before him. I just knew it. I just knew that. And I was terrified, because I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was guilty of sin. I'd open up the Bible just to learn one verse to throw back at this man. One verse. I didn't know. I asked Cindy, I said, we got a Bible? She goes, yeah, we got a Bible. I said, well, could you get it? She goes, okay, I'll look. Took her a little while. She found it. Brought it up to me. I had a bad back. I couldn't get out of bed. I was just laying there. She said, here. I didn't know. I didn't know the Old Testament from the New Testament. She said, what do you want it for? I said, I'm going to learn a scripture verse and throw it back at Bob, the one who asked me that question, because he's always quoting scripture. I didn't know any. So I said, well, and I opened it up to James 2:10. And it said, and I said, oh, this is one. He who believes in the whole law, but yet breaks one of them, becomes guilty of breaking all of them. And when I read guilty, the Holy Spirit convicted me. I was guilty. Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to. That's how I look at it. It's the truth. It's my testimony. And everything that Bob has said to me, a good friend of mine 10 years before that who had shared the gospel with me, that had said, even things that I learned fragmented through religious education, it all came together, and it came together at the cross. And I knew that Jesus died for my sins. And I just cried out to him. Hallelujah. Everybody who calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, you're worthy. Father, I pray that you fill everybody here today with your Spirit. If there are those here today, God, that don't know you, that would have to stand before you, because your righteous judgment will reveal the faith that we have or have not put in you, whether we believe or whether we do not believe. Holy Spirit, I pray that you move on every ear, every soul in this room. Convict, encourage, draw. Have your way. Have your way. Church, it's my prayer that we know this gospel, believe this gospel, stand on this gospel, and go out there and share this gospel. Nate, you're going to end with a song. Listen to these words and be blessed. And if there's anybody here that wants to talk to one of the elders, Brad or Kevin, myself, if you have a question or concern about salvation, being saved, we'll be around. We pray, and I know God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Amen.